so my talk is not, you know, so sexy like and so erotic like the previous ones, but you know, and also it will be in English because, you know, we say that a committee should be internationalized. So I try, and I apologize for that because, you know, my English is utterly broken. So, and if you have some question and then, you know, some explanation, just let me know. And also I have nothing, I have no slides, nothing to show you because I have to be honest, I was, you know, physically and psychologically forced to do this talk. So, yeah, but I didn't have the time to just prepare something interesting that talks about Linux malware for some various reasons. So I'm just talking these 10 minutes how the talk could have been. Si può dire could have been? Sarebbe stato? Okay. Could have been. So basically, the talk was about, you know, an historical overview of Linux malware, because maybe we don't have, you know, an understanding, but Linux malware exists until the 90s. So the 1999, as far as I remember, was the first Linux malware. It was just a simple malware that just overwrites some files, just shows something fancy on the screen. So just by having this, you know, overview on history on Linux malware, I was going, you know, at some point like the last year that we saw national state malware that targeted Linux systems. And this is an interesting point because we see a national state malware actor that was at the time the Russian, well, it's not the Russian, you know, state, but some kind of, you know, Russian group that targeted some activists in Georgia. I don't know in English how to say Georgia. Okay, Georgia. Okay, and spying on them by using a Linux malware based on a really old backdoor called CDOR that was written in '95 around. So pretty old one. They modified this backdoor and used to target activists in Georgia. So a first, you know, part of the talk was about, you know, a political overview on how the you know, Linux backdoors, Linux malware changed from a fun, basically a for fun, and now for profit. After that, I would, you know, look at the how this can be done. Basically, all the different kind of attacks that can target a Linux workstation, because was mainly, you know, focused on, of course, workstation, because we use workstation and not server. So it was important for me to just point out that even if you are using a Linux workstation, you are not safe because you can be targeted by different kind of attacks. And most of the time, you don't need, they don't need root access to just rootkit, you know, your workstation, Linux workstation. So I will talk about, you know, some kind of attack like the spear phishing emails. There are some kind of highly targeted emails sent to you by someone that you really know, and basically pointing you to some, you know, external links, external PDFs or something like that trigger a zero-day attack on your browser or PDF reader or something like that. And this is highly effective because most of the time on a spear phishing email, you can see, for example, some information that you really, I mean, that you really trust the people that just sent you the email. This is done by profiling you, checking your website, your connection, and maybe just trying to basically profile your activity and then check your connection. For example, if you see an email sent by your friend or something like that, by a different email, talking about something that you talk with this guy, with this friend, then it's most likely that you will click on some link or just open some attachment, stuff like that. Also, another really interesting attack that I saw, and you can find online, is the waiter hole attack, that basically the attacker check your the site that your website, the website that you frequently visit and that you trust, so they can attacked website injecting some JavaScript or something like that, and then when you visit website you trust, automatically we execute some code, or maybe they infect some links or some PDF or some documents. So, and this is highly effective because, I mean, for example, if you, oh Jesus, okay. For example, you're visiting, just, we are not saying, but Autistici, okay? You're visiting, you trust Autistici, and then you visit website, and there is a PDF, okay, on some page. You trust Autistici, and then you download the PDF and open it. But it can happen then, you know, an actor, maybe a national state actor, just put, you know, attack the website and gain access to Autistici website for some reason, and then inject some malicious PDF, and then you will be caught in this case. So just looking at these kind of attacks, then I will just move to a more technical side, showing you that some nice trick to have some kind of user space backdoor. It's still called rootkit, but it's some kind of, it's user land, so you don't need root access or kernel space. For example, there is a nice trick that you can, I think mostly of you know about the LD preload trick, that mostly of, basically this just, you have to load a malicious DLL when you run a software, and then when you run the software, it load the malicious DLL that will be run in some kind of kernel space. So you don't need root because the program is using this for you. Another interesting attack is just that just was out like a month ago. It's a kind of GPU rootkit. So basically, it's a rootkit that just run on your GPU. I think mostly of the laptop or PC or workstation just has some kind of video card, you know, a graphic card that use some kind of GPU cores. They are highly, you know. They are really powerful and can be used to do some maths and blah, 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 but can also be used to store a rootkit. And I didn't go further in this, you know, analyzing this malware, this, because, you know, it would be nice to show you some kind of, you know, funny stuff, but it's highly undetected, mostly because there are no tools that can scan your GPU looking for some malicious code. So it's really, really, you know, stealth. Another interesting tool that I want to show you, I will show you, was it's called BDF proxy, and this is interesting because it's a kind of software that you can run on an internet service provider on a position where you are some kind of middle in the middle, so you are at the gateway, and basically what it does is to automatically patch deb files, exe, DLL, wherever, you know, binary goes through this proxy. And it patch with a metainterpreter shell. So basically, when you download something in clear text, not in HTTPS, you will just automatically, this software, it's okay, the BDF proxy just patch with a backdoor. And when you run the software, you don't realize that you are running a backdoor. That's, for now, it's just a proof of concept that just use a metainterpreter shell, but you can modify this and then inject some more powerful remote control access. And this is interesting because I found out that I was not aware that when you install dev packets with the DPKG, so DPKG-I, it basically doesn't check for MD5, size, nothing. So you basically, it blindly install the software that you just, the dev file that you are passing is, instead of apt-get that it checks for MD5 and size. So what I'm saying is that even if you don't realize, you just easily download stuff on the some dev file, it can be injected with some malware on it. And this is really interesting because, and this is, you know, most likely possible because if you are an internet service provider and you want to hack someone, you don't have to put, you know, to build some fancy emails or some mirror or something like that. You have just to run this software on the gateway, and then it automatically inject everything you download. And not only that you download, but even if someone download it on your network, so maybe at home, maybe your parents or your brother or your sister just download something malicious, that can be, you know, botnet, and then move laterally to your workstation. So, I'm done? Okay, so, okay. Well, the same guys that just wrote the malware, the GPU malware, they are trying to, they are writing, still writing some kind of detection. 2 weeks ago, they are still working on the beta version. So I'm not sure if they ended up with some software, you know, that can be used. The GPU malware was functionally on Windows and Linux. The GPU Hunter, rootkit Hunter, was not still not ready. So I think we have to wait. No, the only way, I have no idea. I have no fucking idea how you can just find out that you have this malware on your machine. Sadly, I didn't have the time to go first and then show you some really nice stuff. That's why I'm here without, you know, slide and 10 minutes talk, because, but it's really interesting. It's called, as far as I remember, Jellyfish or something like that. But if you search for GPU malware, I think it's pretty everywhere on the search engine, so it's pretty easy to spot. And there are just some hints, and that's everything I have for now. So that's all.